Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Bring it on.
I got a quick one for y'all.
Okay, another one.
Why are toilets good at poker?
Something about a flush.
No, because they always have flush. They always have a flush.
You should have quit while you were ahead.
I'm at Zany's, y'all. Okay, come and see me.
Hold on. But D-Mace, you got to put your best joke later in the show. You let off the joke. You had a great joke to start the show.
Now you're going downhill. I got more.
Repeat the first joke. The first joke was a better joke.
The first joke was...
The submarines in the sky.
Don't you know there are more planes in the sea than submarines in the sky? It's plain to see, right? Plain to see that, right?
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
One texter texted in, phone lines from mobilescanhunter.com, says a termite walks into a bar and asks, where is your bartender? I don't get it.
A termite walks into the bar and asks,
Where is your bartender? I don't get it.
Tinder, like wood? Termite eating wood?
Yeah. He says,
like,
get timber, it. Where what? Is the bar space tender?
It must
be. Oh, tender, like wood. Like,
yeah.
Tender wood.
A wood word?
Yeah, I guess tender wood, easier to eat, I guess.
Where's your bar timber?
The most tender, tasty wood in the bar?
Okay. I don't know.
I get it. Okay.
I'm using that.
No. It was a good one.
I'm using that.
Yeah, that's what you'd be polite at a party. Yeah, that was a good one.
Crickets everywhere.
Keep them coming, people.
Dad jokes with D-Mace. Oh, man. Open mic night with Derek Mason.
Oh, man. Okay, let's go.
What can he do?
Yeah, I just got something.
This comedian.
A light bulb just said, bing.
But let's go. We'll have to save it. We'll have to save that one for the next hour. So I think that I'm a big fan of a good conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm. We found this out, but both of you guys.
Yes,
both of you guys.
We love them.
Life is too short to not buy into a conspiracy theory, and you can quote me on that. I love a good conspiracy theory. I love some good drama. Who doesn't? I mean, after all, the NFL truly is one of the world's greatest soap operas. It truly is one of the world's greatest just, you know, like those trash talk magazines. I feel like the NFL Network is sometimes synonymous with E because it is just so dramatic sometimes. And that is what I love about the NFL. But sometimes, even for me, things go just a little bit too far. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this. Am I poo-pooing this idea? Am I not, you know, looking into it enough? Should it deserve a little bit more, you know, a little bit more love, a little bit more airtime? But Charles Robinson was on with Robbie and Rex Road. He goes on with them every week, and I appreciate the insight that Charles Robinson brings every single week. But he brought up a story, or rather something that was pointed out to him by an NFL executive, and this was Robbie – no. Not Robbie. It was Charles Robinson on Robbie.
I guess he could be nicknamed Robbie, maybe, to really confuse everybody.
This is Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports.
I had a GM who, it started to make the rounds, but the first guy that sent me the clip was a GM. He said, hey, did you see this? And it was a clip of them making the pick. And it was Rand Carthon, obviously on the phone with Will Levis. It gets past the Amy Adams Strunk, and then it goes from Amy Adams Strunk to Mike Vrabel. And he just said, hey, did you see this? And he's like, you know, just what do you think of this clip? So I start watching it and I thought, okay, well, the order of the phone call is interesting. You know, you start picking apart like how, what you see in terms of the order of who's talking to the prospect. It's still a second round pick. It was interesting. It went from the GM to the owner and then the coach last. I thought it was interesting watching Mike Vrabel and just his demeanor and then listening to what he was saying to Will Levis. And he's talking about, you know, it was weird. It felt like he was coaching him in the moment about being gracious and having gratitude and being a good teammate and coming in and learning. And I was like, man, that is not stuff that you normally hear right off the bat when you have people who are overjoyed to make this you know, quarterback pick, and you're so lucky, and there's hugs, and then you kind of get this fist bump, and then Mike Vrabel turns away, and we're off.
I love a good conspiracy theory. And I know when some people heard that, they probably thought, Mike Vrabel hates Will Levis. That doesn't mean anything to me. That feels just like that's what Mike Vrabel does. You know, he'll, you know, talk on the phone with him, talk about, hey, we're excited to have you. These are the expectations. We haven't seen Mike Vrabel draft a quarterback. Of course, he drafted Malik Willis this past year, but this is on a different level than what they drafted Malik Willis with last year. So we don't have a history of Mike Vrabel's interactions with a newly drafted quarterback with the expectations that Will Levis has. But to me, that doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't.
I guess in listening to that, I'm trying to figure out where the incriminating part, that he was the fourth person to talk to Levis, and then what was the second part?
That he was on the phone with him talking about gratitude, talking about, you know, graciousness. Maybe it aligns with, you know, there was a lot of stuff coming out about Will Levis not having great interviews, and he did have a great interview with the Titans, supposedly. Maybe it stemmed from that. I don't know, but you know, Mike Vrabel talking to him about gratitude the night that they draft him, I can't look too far into that. Honestly, I think that's just Mike Vrabel.
And also not being able to hear what the other end of the phone, what are they saying? Mm-hmm. Like I don't know what to think about that. I do find it interesting because I listened to a really good podcast, the MMQB. I told you guys about this where it seemed like the word that these guys were getting, Connor Orr is at the center of it, and he said there were a lot of people who interviewed Will Levis that thought he was maybe putting on a little bit of a show, a little more extra bravado, thinking that that's what the teams wanted to hear from him. And some of the teams early on kind of saw through it and said, well, he's kind of not being himself here. He's trying to be something that he's not. We don't like that. But by the time he visited the Titans, he had a very good meeting, and the Titans kind of took a different approach. They said, okay, we want to bring in your biggest mistakes. We want to look at your poor games. Bring them in. Let's talk about him. And they felt like he was much more honest, much more likable. This is just the story coming through there. So I don't know if that's connected at all with what that quote from Charles Robinson is or not. Yeah. But all of this is to say that, you know, now he's a Titan, and now he's going to be coming in there every day, and he's got to start the new relationship. This is, they selected him, you know?
Yeah. Hey, you know this music. Who doesn't love a good conspiracy?
Who doesn't love a good conspiracy?
If you loved X-Files, you know this theme song. Conspiracies everywhere. You gotta love a good conspiracy, don't you?
The moon landing.
Exactly.
Aliens. Mike Vrabel.
Not Mike Vrabel. And the way he spoke to Will Levis on draft day. This goes right along. Where's Mulder? Where's Scully at? Where are they? I mean, in times like this, we need Mulder and Scully, okay, to break this down. But you look at this, I think it sort of goes in line to, you know, what Vrabel said at the end of the press conference. It was like the last thing he said at the end of the press conference the night of the night of the first round or night of the second round. When before, like 20 minutes before, Rand Carthon said, listen, this is a joyous time. Let's not tear these guys down. Let's build them up because this is some of these guys. This is the, you know, like this is an important time in their life getting drafted. Up until this point, this is like the most exciting thing for these young men. So let's not tear them down. Let's build them up. And then 20 minutes later, and it was so ironic how he did it. It was like he went out of his way, Vrabel, to say at the end, well, if this is the most important, you know, the most exciting or most important time in their life, then they're not going to have a long career.
Which is a really fair point.
Yeah, which is a fair point. But it was like he almost went out of his way to say that because he heard what Rand Carthon said and he couldn't quite, he didn't want to right then and there, he didn't want to comment or say anything right after Rand said it, but he wanted to get it out. So he made sure he got it out before it all was said and done, before that interview was done. He said that. So, you know, you look at it from a standpoint of, you know, is there a lot to make of the phone call with Will Levis and how he sort of approached it with him? Not really, but hell, I love a good conspiracy theory, So I'm gonna make a little bit out of nothing. You know, I'm going to drum it up just a little bit because who doesn't like it?
Who doesn't?
I cannot imagine that that would be the moment that a coach would start like lecturing a guy that they just picked. He started lecturing him, basically. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the tape.
From what was said by Charles Robinson. Yeah.
If somebody can produce that, maybe we can listen to it for ourselves. It sounds like it could have been more of a, hey, enjoy this. You know, this is a big night for you. That's what I would say if I were the coach. It's not time to get into.
Yeah, but that's
kind of,
what
they already picked him, so it's not like, hey, be grateful. Mm. It's already done. He doesn't have to be. It's a done deal.
If Mike Vrabel,
the guy had been through the ringer, man. He just got back home after being the guy on TV that didn't get picked,
and everyone's making fun of his hot mom. Like that's got to be a little bit humbling.
I don't think that's the kind.
It was almost like Wilson last year.
Oh,
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson and moms.
And his mom became more of the center stage than he did.
Page six.
And I just hope it doesn't happen to Wilson. But when you see a situation like that, I'm sure Mike is just, that's just him. And you know, the crazy part about it is, I try not to equate Mike Vrabel, his coaching style, with Bill Belichick. Just because he played for Bill, all of a sudden he has to be Bill. I'm not the one to prescribe to that. It's just he's been through enough coaching ranks where he takes bits and pieces from everybody and sort of with what he has and sort of build, you know, his career based upon that, of the things he's seen, the things been told to him, the things that he know, and he wants to coach according to that. But that's something – honestly, I can see Bill Belichick doing, getting on the phone with a draftee and say, listen, be grateful, be humble. That's something I see Bill. He's won six championships, and that's been his demeanor since Lord knows when. You know, it's just when Bill says it, it's like, oh, that's just Bill. He's nothing.
And but who Mike says it, coach in the league?
But Mike says it, and it's like, should I refer back to Bill? Because he probably seen a lot of how, you know, Bill Belichick interacted with players. Or is that just Mike being Mike? I think it's more so, even though I love a good conspiracy theory, I think it's Mike being Mike.
Mike Vrabel thought that Will Levis was an ungrateful little twerp, I don't think they would have traded up to draft him.
But I think there is something in Mike that doesn't want, from what we've all seen and from what's been reported and everything else, there's a bit of him that comes in and wants to taper whatever arrogance that would be there. Like, I'm tapering it now because, you know, what's been coming out prior to the draft is the arrogance and the bravado. Yeah, I want to taper that right now so you know. Be grateful, be gracious, come in here and work hard. That's all I ask of you.
And I think that that's something that he would probably reiterate to every single other guy that they bring in the building. I don't think that's unique.
Yeah. But especially the quarterback.
I'm going to say he just said it to Will Levis. That's it. He said it only to Will Levis. I want a conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy king and comedian.
Absolutely.
Let's get into some of your thoughts on this coming up next. To Ask D. Mace in 15 minutes. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
I imagine one of the advantages of bringing Levis in here, you get to sit down and work through the interceptions and everything. How did that process go for you guys as far as him being able to explain what happened and what he could have done differently?
Great. I had a lot of great exposure with Will, the combine, the pro day, here. You know, I think that with any player, you know, when there's a mistake, you know, one, it's how you allow them to make mistakes. Can they explain it? You know, hey, here's what I was trying to do. It was, you know, fourth down. I'm trying to, you know, feel like I've got to force the ball in there. And if they can't explain it, well, then that's what you have to come in as a coach and figure out, you know, why those things happen. And we did that with a lot of different situations with every quarterback is, you know, whether it was situationally, third down, red zone, interceptions, times where we felt like that was a bad decision. We did that with all the quarterbacks that we met with.
That was Mike Vrabel on Will Levis. Charles Robinson says that an NFL general manager said, look at the phone call. Listen to what Mike Vrabel was saying to Will Levis. I can't get on board with that. But conspiracy theory, D-Mace, he's eating it up.
Oh, I got it. I'm eating it up. I got another one for y'all.
Oh, boy.
Y'all want to hear this one?
Gird your loins.
Y'all want to hear this one,
this is
people?
This is not something to do with the earth being flat, like hanging out with Kyrie or something like that.
Even though I do think the earth is flat. No, I don't. I'm at Zanies in 3 years from now. I'm at Zanies.
5 years. That was the would you rather.
He's building his portfolio.
Exactly. So, how does NASA organizes its parties?
How does NASA organize their parties?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You want me to tell y'all?
Yeah.
They plan it. Oh yeah. I'm at Zanies in 5 years.
Okay.
That was a good one.
Now you've bounced back.
That was a good one.
You might want to end on that one. That was a good one. End on a high note.
No, I got another one. And I'm going to end on. Yes, yeah. It's even better.
Keeping us on our toes.
Absolutely.
Want to get into some of your thoughts. But Willie, you had a thought first.
Well, okay, I want to ask you. This is a precursor to ask D-Mace. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lead off with D-Mace here, but Caroline, I want to hear
minutes.
This too, because you know we want to hit different people, different viewpoints here. We got Taylor Swift coming in, mm-hmm. right?
Talk about girding your loins, jeez. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I have seen Michelle Knezevic, our coworker. She really wants to go to this concert. She said, "I will do a GoFundMe to get tickets to this thing." My daughter's college roommate. As soon I was on the phone with my daughter when the tour was announced several months ago, and her roommate just lost it. She was going, "We got to get on this. We got to get on the Ticketmaster. We got to do." I mean, it was all over the place.
Losing their minds.
So we have a wide range. I respect the Swifties, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the question is, if you are given two tickets to Taylor Swift, giving them, you're not paying for them. Mm-hmm. Somebody just for whatever reason, you have two tickets, didn't pay for them. Would you, A, hey, I'm going to go to the concert. Mm-hmm. B, give the tickets to somebody who loves Taylor Swift. Or C, sell them for what you could get for them.
Listen, it's a capitalistic world.
I mean, hey, we got Michelle saying, I will get the GoFundMe. I'll pay good. I know you could get good money for these tickets.
Listen, Willie, if I ain't going, somebody else is going, but they're going to give me a little coin. They're going to give me a little coin, man.
So you would not go. You're not a Taylor Swift fan.
I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. It's not like I dislike her or don't like her. I'm just not, you know, it is what it is. But if somebody gave me tickets and I planned on going and all of a sudden I couldn't go, yeah, I'm selling those jokers.
Okay. I don't think there's any wrong answer here.
Yeah, I'm selling okay? those jokers.
My wife asked me this question yesterday because we live in East Nashville, so there are going to be a lot of streets closed trying to get out of our neighborhood onto the highways and get out and about. So we're bracing ourselves for the invasion, just like whenever there's a big concert.
Right. Unless I'm giving them to like a family, close family member, or close friend.
Well, that's the option, right?
Friend.
Like you might have a relative that calls Uncle Derek or whoever. You know, hey, exactly. Yeah, Derek.
I would just give it to them.
Yeah,
like, see, but somebody else.
D-Mace is asking his daughter to cough up a couple
exactly.
of G's.
Yeah. Which means I would be paying for them myself.
But this is okay, Caroline. What would you do?
The money is tempting.
Yeah.
Because Taylor Swift tickets, I mean, in some cities for some seats, they were going for $30,000-$40,000. I mean, that is
now that's a lot of money.
Insane.
Ooh. I would have to
It's a little bit
I would make my daughter pay.
It's
if
a little
I'm
bit
get $30,000 or $40,000, baby, you better come up with that money.
$30,000, $40,000,
y'all better get together, GoFundMe, and give me my money.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable some of the prices that people are paying.
It's like when you catch the home run ball, let's say you catch the 500th home run for somebody.
The Aaron Judge.
That ball is worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
There are some people that would say, look, I just want to give it to the guy. right? It's not right to just, I'm going to put it. But when you're talking about that amount of money, my goodness.
If it was that amount of money, that's a no-brainer. Yeah. I would sell the tickets and get that in return. But I do love Taylor Swift.
Okay, so you might go.
I would go. It would have to be like a $30,000, $40,000, like almost an offer I couldn't refuse for me to give those tickets up. I love Taylor Swift. I've grown up listening to Taylor Swift. She is an icon. I would go.
What, have you ever seen her before?
I've never seen her live, no.
Okay. See, so for me, the curiosity, now where I live, right, I could get dropped off. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be that inconvenient for me to just show up because I live not that far from the stadium. I could walk if I mm-hmm. wanted to, but I could get a ride close enough to where the barriers are, then walk exactly. the rest of the way. So it would be convenient me to get in and out. So the intrigue of the whole thing, if I've never seen her, just to say that I saw it, I'd be kind of inclined to just go if I didn't have anything else going on. But I'm not that big of a fan to where I would go out of my way to want to see
exactly.
the concert. So that's the dilemma to me, A, B, and C. I think it would be tough for somebody that I knew and really loved, that I knew loved Taylor Swift, for me to have the tickets and
not give it to them. That would be tough.
I mean, she is an international superstar. Yeah. To pass up on an opportunity, whether you love her or not, to pass up on that opportunity, it would be tough.
I would love to know what some people would think. How many people would just flat out cash in, forget about it? What are you talking about? I got a couple of grand coming
economy,
to me.
I think people would just pass on it. Like, listen, give me the money.
Yeah.
Give me the
dough. Go to eBay, go to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, give me the dough. I could eat for about 2 or 3 weeks with that money.
A couple months rent.
A couple months rent for that money. give it here.
It is appealing.
You could make somebody's year, right?
Of
if there are people that love her that much, that you could say, hey, what a great gift. And then what would you get back? Just, you know, someday in life. Yeah. It all comes back around. I don't know.
Like, get Beyonce tickets in a few years. Then it's a fair trade.
Yeah.
It's a very fair trade.
A little reciprocity.
Ask D-Maze coming up next, 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie D-Maze, 1025, 1063 The Game.
D-Maze. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. You can find their healing products at curationcompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Use promo code DMAZE, D-M-A-S-E, at CurationeCompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. Ask D-Maze. Get those questions in for D-Maze. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get into it. Some questions for D-Maze. Unless you have another doozy of a joke.
No. Nick was asking me, like, which one do you want to give? And I said one, and then I started singing one of their songs. And I know Nick was probably like, stop it, please. Stop it.
All right. I feel like this is going to be a good session for Ask D-Maze. 615-737-1025. We have done some fun non-sports mm-hmm. stuff today, so hopefully they got people's wheels turning a little bit. So you can ask D-Mace a sports question or a non-sports question. The Lakers are still going. They just got waxed last night, 127-100.
Hush your mouth.
They got ripped.
They
got their split. They're looking pretty good. Yeah. They're looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot on the table here.
Let's do it.
Let's get into it. One texter texts in and says, GM D-Mace, you have the first overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft. Who are you taking?
It's no secret who I'm taking. If you've listened to the show, I'm taking Bryce Young with no hesitation. I think he's that type of player. Minus, you know, we can sit here and knock him for his height and lack of being over 200 pounds. We can do all that stuff. But it's not like this kid just started playing football, you know, yesterday. He's been playing at this height for the last 3 years at Alabama in the SEC, which many consider, you know, the best conference in all of football. I'm a Big Ten guy, so I'm a leave that for USCC guys.
Doesn't mean as much.
Yeah, so yeah, you're right. But you know, I'm taking Bryce Young. There's nothing that I've seen that would make me think this guy's not going to be every bit of the pro and every bit of a franchise quarterback that you want him to be. So I'm taking him. Now, listen, with each one of them, it's a roll of the dice. You know, Levis, Stroud, Richardson, Young, Caleb Williams next year, Drake May next year. All these kids, it's like, okay, I'm just hedging my bets on what I've seen, you know, from them in college and the interviews and everything else. But what I've seen of Bryce Young, nothing tells me that he shouldn't have been the first pick in this year's NFL draft.
All right, the first overall pick, the Derek Mason select, Stetson Bennett.
He would be second.
One guy's got the obligatory, D-Mace, we need you in the wide receiver room. Would you come out of retirement to play for the Titans? Okay, all right. We get that.
Robbie and Rex wrote this morning. He said Chris Sanders and D-Mace might have to come out of retirement.
Pay me enough. I'll give you a few plays. That's about it.
Okay. All right, here's one from Jim. Do you watch the Kentucky Derby?
I have seen it.
Have you ever been there?
I've never been to the Kentucky Derby.
I've been once.
You have?
It's worth going one time.
Is it?
I don't know if I'd go back, but it is an experience. Let me tell you.
I need that invite from somebody that's in a cool place where I can kind of sit and watch everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, that's where you want. You don't want to be in the infield.
Yeah,
it's total madness. It's a madness. It's a massive humanity. But if you got the spot, if you got the spot, it's way different.
If somebody got that spot, hit me up. Hit me up.
That is on my sports event bucket list.
Okay. I can see you chilling at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, with your big hat
on. You get your hat going.
Give me a big old obnoxious hat.
Mint juleps.
Oh, absolutely. I'll kick my feet up, watch some horse races. Oh,
I know we got to continue. But are those things good?
Mint juleps?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They are good.
They're great.
Good. They're
I've had kind of mixed.
And you're in the moment. You're kind of going with the Rome.
Yeah.
I've had mixed responses. Some people said they're pretty good. Some people it's like, nah, they're not really good, but it's sort of like the part of
what you do.
Yeah, what you do. So.
I think they're refreshing. Mm, okay. Doug is on the line with a question for D. Mace. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. What's up, Doug?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, or good afternoon. D. Mace, I have a problem.
What's
it's
the problem?
Graduation time. It's graduation time.
Graduation time.
Love it. And my theme has always been with my nieces and nephews, if you go to college, get this amount of money. Don't go to college, you get half. Mm-hmm. And you don't go to college, you get this amount. You go to college, you get the other part. And I will help you along the way. You just get out of high school and don't do anything? Sorry, Charlie, welcome to grown up. I don't give you a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Wife seems to think I should be across the board with the same amount of money. Ooh. Because they're all going to talk. Help me, please.
Ooh. Well, I
thank
mean,
you, Doug.
Thank
That's
you,
a
Doug.
Dilemma.
Appreciate it. It is a dilemma.
Congratulations to your grads.
Now, I guess it depends because you got to know. And he said his kids, or did he say his?
Nieces and nephews in there.
Okay,
yeah.
You got to know like your nieces and nephews. You got to you spend time with them. I know Doug has, so you know your nieces and nephews. You know which ones are responsible. Mm-hmm. Which ones are more the entrepreneurial type? Which ones are, straight line, this is what I want to do, college, and then so forth. So you know each individual. And I think you should, I'm not going to just give the one that really don't, graduate high school but just want to work, just go straight to work and whatever job, just want to work. Well, okay, I would give you, say if it was $40,000, I would give you $20,000 and allow you to do what you're going to do. I don't want to give you the whole, if it's $40,000, I don't want to give you the whole $40,000. Give you $20,000, see what you're doing. The kid that wants to be so entrepreneurial, I'm giving that kid probably the whole $40,000 because what I've heard from them, their ideas, their thoughts, they may need all $40,000 of it to get their business going and started. And I probably wouldn't give it to them right away. I give them 20 now, let the business get going, and then give them the 20 again a little bit later in installments. Then a kid that's going to college, a straight line kid, it's like, okay, I will give you yours in installments as well. But I will give you all of it because each year is going to be different. You know, your freshman year might cost a little bit more than your sophomore year. Your sophomore year might cost a little bit more than your junior, you know, so it goes up. So I would stagger it based upon that. But then also the first one, if I see that they're, you know, even though they're just working a job, but if I see that they are, you know, doing things and bettering themselves, then I come back to them and say, okay, is there anything else you need? And if they say, yeah, it's like, okay, then I will give it to them. But, you know, it's you got to know each one of your nieces and nephews.
It's tough.
Because some, you know, you just don't want to give all the money because they ain't going to do nothing but go and blow it, you know? And it's like, yeah, I know I gave it to you and your money to do something with it, but I just don't want to see you just go and blow it on nothing.
I also, you know, do wonder about the siblings, right? If you do something different for one sibling's kid and something different for another sibling's kid, mm-hmm. will you have the one of the siblings, hey, you gave so-and-so mm-hmm. 20 and mine only 10 because he's going over here? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to feel like for
yourself. Now you say, you get what you get. Yeah,
like,
for instance,
my niece, she very, very smart. She graduated college like at 18, somewhere around
there. Oh, my gosh.
This girl is smart. Smart as a whip. And her mom and dad are both educators. My brother and his wife are both educators. So her, it was like I had money that I was giving to them anyway. I didn't mind just giving it here. Mm-hmm. When you want it here, it's yours. Why? Because I visually see what she's doing and the road that she's headed down. So I don't care. Just because I know you're going to be responsible with it. You know, other ones, it's like I got to sort of, you know, be a little judicious in how I do that. So, because again, you just don't want to give it to them and they just go and blow it and then they come back to you or they go to their parents like, I need more money. Well,
I gave you money.
It's like your uncle gave you a little bit. I gave you some and you blew it all. You know, you just don't want that to happen.
You
want
a return on that investment.
Exactly.
Totally
absolutely.
Understand. More
Doug, a thought-provoking question.
Thank pretty you. Good stuff. Doug. Good stuff. More of your questions for D-Maze coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Maze, 1025, 1063, The Game.
D-Maze. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. You can find their healing products at CurationCompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Use promo code DMASE, D-M-A-S-E, at CurationCompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. Let's get to your questions for D-Mace. Nate is on the line with a question for D-Mace. What up, Nate?
What's up, y'all? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Same to you.
So, with the situation Taylor Lewan has put himself in, if you were in the middle of your surgical career and a polarizing figure like Taylor Lewan with a, you know, a massive voice, and it seems, I would think, a lot of the NFL players look up to him, the younger ones, and see that they can have a voice. Would you be concerned about your future, or would you be questioning if you want to continue to help these professional athletes with their surgeries? Hmm. I don't want to say threat, because that's not a term that I want to use, but for lack of a better term, with the threat of being sued in the future for something that you basically almost couldn't control. Mm.
Thanks for your call, Nate.
Thank you, Nate. I'm sure because you have to sign a bunch of papers before you have surgery. So I'm sure there's something within those documents that protects the surgeon to a certain extent. I've always been of the belief, listen, if you didn't do nothing wrong, you didn't do nothing wrong, and you fight it. I stand on that. Like, listen, I've always said, I don't care who it is, what it is. If you accuse me of something, I know I didn't do it wrong. I don't care how much money I have. I am not going to, you know, sort of cower or say, well, because I don't want this to get in the media, let's settle out of court. That's admitting wrong when you settle out of court anyway, to me. I don't care about anything else. To me, if I didn't do anything wrong, if I felt I took the necessary procedures and steps to do a adequate to great job, then I am not bowing down to anyone. I don't care how loud your voice is. We just have to go to court. And if I lose money in the process, then I lose money. But I'm not going to allow someone with a big voice to make me sort of cower just because I'm afraid that I may potentially lose other clients. Again, if I didn't do anything wrong, if I went by the steps and the procedures, then no, I'm fighting it tooth and nail. We're going to go at it as long as possible. So I'm not, and I'm not going to worry about, again, another player's voice. I'm just not going to do that because ultimately, if I've done my job the way that I should have, I have all documents, I have everything that is going to put me in a position where, but we do go to court, that I'm going to win. That's plain and simple. Now if I have sort of, you know, half-assed the surgery and, you know, whatnot, and the guy suffers for it, then hey, listen, I have to pay.
Yeah.
I got to do what I got to do. I got to take responsibility for it and move on. But if I didn't do anything, if I felt I did everything, you know, by the rules of you know, the book, so to speak, and, you know, whatnot as a surgeon, and I was ethical in everything that I did, then no. My thing is, hey, be prepared to go to war because that's what we're doing because I didn't do anything wrong.
All right, here's one on another note. D-Mace. Do you think Deion Sanders will win a conference championship at Colorado?
Oh, man. Gosh, that is tough because this
program. Now, remember, USC and UCLA are leaving the conference.
Yes,
so maybe it's a little more winnable than it was, maybe.
Yeah. Oregon.
Washington State still in there.
Colorado's taking over at the bottom, but they have had success before. Yeah. But Deion has been in the news for his pretty radical way of coming in there and just blowing everybody
He's coming in like a bull in a china shop. He's coming in with a sledgehammer. Yeah. And, you know, you could take several different approaches if you come in as a new head coach. And, you know, I've seen head coaches come in and sort of, you know, stake their claim. And this is a new team and new regime and new ways. So this is how we're going to operate. And eventually, In how we operate, it will weed out those people that are not dedicated to it or doesn't want to buy into it. It'll weed those people out. So I don't have to sit here and say, well, you don't. If you were here before me, then you might as well hit the portal. I don't need to say all that because I'm going to work all of y'all hard and different from what the last coaching staff did. And if y'all are not going to buy into it or y'all don't like it, then y'all going to leave. Mm-hmm. I don't have to say a word. You know, so I hope Deion is successful. I really do. You know, but it's going to be difficult because you're coming into a program that has been down for so long.
And it's a different beast.
Yeah, it's different
from where he came from to the Pac-12.
I just wonder if it can happen as fast as he wants it to happen. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he came in there and he was like, I'm going to do what nobody's ever done before. I'm coming in. Like the Pied Piper, everybody's following me, and we're going to have a loaded team right now. My son's going to be the quarterback. Mm-hmm. We've got some other players coming in. But that's not how it appears right now. But most coaches, especially for the rebuilding project that Colorado has, they won one game last year. It's going to be a building process, right? It takes time. You can't do it overnight.
Well, it's in his mind, it's we need a radical change. So what does that entail? It entails, you know, radical thoughts. It entails me coming in with a radical mindset of, hey, listen, everything that y'all knew before I got here, all of that is gone. Every bit of it is gone. we got to start from the dirt and build this program up. We got to tear down whatever was here before me. It's this radical movement that some players, you know, whether it was Deion or anybody else, mm-hmm. some players just can't buy into that. Some players don't want to work harder than what they've been working. Some guys get used to just sort of coasting, and then when a new coach comes in, they almost get offended that they now got to work hard. Well, Deion is telling them, like, I don't care if you get offended or not. If you want to be in this program, you need to work hard.
And Deion's philosophy could be the best thing that has ever happened to this Colorado football program, at least in recent history. But also, there is another side of it, too. If there's kids, players now that don't want to be part of this organization and what he's building, maybe they don't ever want to be. And maybe the philosophy that Deion is bringing in won't be successful. But to your point, you know, when you are as bad as Colorado has been, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, you have to come in with something that's just going to shake the foundation that was once there. You have to. But I'm not going to say his approach is the greatest or not. We will see.
The problem I had was that there were some guys that honestly worked really hard from the time he got there to the end of the spring and wanted to stay that he flat out cut. He just said, I want you out of here.
Yeah.
This is the double-edged sword of the NIL, the transfer rule, where players have the freedom now, but also the coach has the ability now to say, look, I'm gonna do this. It's a two-way street. You can leave, but your scholarship is annually renewable, so I'm going to use my right to cut you.
And that's the part that I don't agree with, if indeed it happened in sort of that fashion. Like, okay, you gave this kid a scholarship, or the last coaching regime gave this kid a scholarship.
What is your responsibility to honor that?
And it's like, okay, if he's doing what he's supposed to do in the classroom, he's BCA student in a classroom. He's doing his job in a classroom. But he may not be as good or what you're looking for at that particular time on a playing field. I always go back to honor that contract. Keep him in school. They ain't all. If you say it's about building up men, well, it's separate from football. If you're talking about building up men, build these men up in the classroom as well. Mm-hmm. Honor that scholarship that you gave him. You know, he may not be a starter on your team. He may not be a backup on your team. There's a story, quickly, and I know my buddy won't mind me sharing this because he shared it openly. A guy named Curtis from California. He came in. He got there a year or two before I got to Michigan State. And, you know, he played under Coach Perlis. When Nick came in, he had a real bad back injury. Mm-hmm. And he told this story, so I feel I can tell it now. So when Saban came in, he was like, okay. They were like, well, do you want to – you can coach, because obviously you can't play football. You can coach, you know, be a GA and stay with your scholarship, or if you still want to be around the team. And he basically asked these questions. Well, if I don't want to coach, can I still have my scholarship? Coach Saban, yeah. Okay, if I just want to be a college student, go to class, can I still keep my scholarship? Yeah. All right, then. Well, I'm just going to be a college student because I don't want to coach. I can't play football, but I want to get a degree. All right, then. We signed you as a scholarship athlete. We're going to honor that. We're going to honor it. Whether you're hurt or not, we're going to honor it. I think that's what should happen. If you don't believe that player is good enough to be a starter or backup, then honor the scholarship. Allow him to finish out the year, 2 years of scholarship. If this person wants to play, then let him go transfer somewhere else. But if he's like, I want to be here, this is my dream college, I got recruited, I signed it, then honor the scholarship. Let him just be a student, because it's only going to be for a year or two. Let him just be a student. If indeed you're really sold on raising up men, in this program, then let him just be a student.
Which I believe has been Dion's message and what he wants to do at Colorado and what he wanted to do at Jackson State as well. Mm-hmm. Just from a football standpoint, looking at the mass exodus that has left that program over the last few weeks, I don't think Dion Sanders is in any position to be, you know, turning people away. Or to be sending players away.
It's going
to
be tough.
It's going to be tough. It's a learning curve, and it's going to be a whole lot of growing pains. But can Deion Sanders build up that program in the process?
That's I hope he can. I really do.
I wish him nothing but the best. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. This is a wild, wild story that could send shockwaves throughout college sports and maybe even sports as a whole. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.